Are we doomed to relearn the lessons of the past? Shadowed windows in the stores on Chicago's Magnificent Mile. Street battles in Portland and Seattle. Buildings ablaze in Minneapolis. All serve to evoke images of Kristallnacht, Germany's night of the broken glass that in 1938 signaled the beginning of the Nazi drive to exterminate Europe's Jewish population. Are we doomed to relearn the lessons of the past? Shadowed windows in the stores of Chicago's Magnificent Mile, street battles in Portland and Seattle, buildings ablaze in Minneapolis, all serve to evoke images of Kristallnacht, Germany's night of the broken glass, that in 1938 signaled the beginning of the Nazi drive to exterminate Europe's Jewish population. Ironically, the people whose barbaric acts are so reminiscent of those of Germany's Nazi past claim to be anti-fascist. But Antifa's calculated viciousness so closely mirrors that of Adolf Hitler's brown-shirted stormtroopers, it's reasonable to conclude that the reverse is true. The violence racking so many of America's greatest cities is especially chilling for those who witnessed the launch of the Cold War by Adolf Hitler's evil twin, Joseph Stalin. As Yogi Berra famously observed, the violence here in America today is just like deja vu all over again. Folks might find it odd to hear Hitler and Stalin described as twins. After all, Hitler was right-wing, while Stalin was left-wing. And today, people use right-wing as a term for political conservatives. Actually, there was nothing in the least bit conservative about Hitler. He, like Stalin, was a socialist. Indeed, it was Stalin who coined the term right-wing to differentiate Hitler's brand of socialism from Stalin's self-styled left-wing version. The basic difference between the two wings was actually quite trivial. Stalin outlawed privately owned businesses, maintaining that the state should own the means of production. Hitler said it didn't matter who owned the means of production, providing the producers did what the state told them. The ultimate achievements of the two socialist visions, however, was remarkably similar. Slaughter on what might best be described as an industrial scale. In his 12 years of power, Hitler was responsible for the deaths of more than 20 million people, while the victims of Stalin's Soviet Union numbered between 40 and 60 million during its 70 years of existence. It's impossible to contemplate those dark days without recalling the words of George Orwell, the pen name of a writer named Eric Blair, who is one of the most eloquent and effective enemies of socialist totalitarianism. Orwell's best-known work was the novel 1984. It graphically describes the nature and purpose of political correctness, and Orwell offers chilling words of warning to the present generation, that the present generation should indeed take to heart. The ideological underpinnings of today's cultural turmoil largely originate in our education system, most notably, but by no means exclusively, in our colleges and universities. Prophetically, Orwell's description of the leftist intellectuals of his day aptly describes their modern American counterparts. Here is what Orwell had to say about them, with the words American and America substituted for English and England. America is perhaps the only great country whose intellectuals are ashamed of their own nationality, he writes. In left-wing circles, it has always felt that there's something slightly disgraceful about being an American, and that it is a duty to snigger at every American institution, from the nuclear family to apple pie. It is a strange fact, but it is unquestionably true, that almost any American intellectual would feel more ashamed of standing to attention during the Star Spangled Banner than stealing from a poor box. Orwell was acutely aware of the danger to democracy presented by political correctness. Its purpose, he declared, is to obliterate our understanding of history and to stifle political debate. The most effective way to destroy a people is to deny and obliterate their understanding of their own history, he wrote. Whoever controls the image and information of the past, he continues, determines what and how future generations will think. Whoever controls the information and images of the present determines how those same people will view the past. He who controls the past commands the future, and he who commands the future conquers the past. Orwell eloquently denounced leftist attacks on the English language. His words are particularly relevant today in view of recent claims from leftist academics that the English language itself is racist. The University of Washington in Tacoma's Writing Center, for example, has condemned the English language, and especially its rules, as racist. A large poster on the wall in the center declares American grammar to be racist and an unjust language structure. Similar sentiments have also been endorsed by the English faculty at Rutgers University. Orwell comments tersely, "There is no swifter route to the corruption of thought than through the corruption of the language." In our time, political speech and writing are largely the defense of the indefensible. Thus, political language has to consist largely of euphemism, question begging, and sheer cloudy vagueness. Political language is designed to make the lies sound truthful. We have now sunk to a depth at which restatement of the obvious is the first duty of intelligent men. Orwell harbored no illusion about the goals of those behind politically motivated violence. "No one ever seizes power with the intention of relinquishing it," he wrote in his book 1984. "Power is not a means, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes a revolution in order to establish a dictatorship." Please don't say you haven't been warned.